Players from all over the world came to the great golfing venue of Woburn in mid-May. The players, aged 15 to 63, had one focus: to do their best and play well in the second G4D Open. Here in this edition of the Edgar Podcast, we bring you some high points from on and off the course in a fascinating and now established week in the international golf calendar. So let's check out Woburn. Shortly after 8 a.m. on May the 15th, watery sunshine greets Susan Simpson, the RNA Assistant Director of Amateur Championships, and her hard-working team at Woburn. Wearing white gloves to protect the gleaming winner's silverware, weeks of preparation for the G4D Open are completed as the two trophies are put in place beside the men's and women's first tees on the Duchess course. On the stroke of 8:30 a.m. in match one, Daphne van Houten of the Netherlands is announced on the official starter's microphone to a hushed gallery, which watches as the 25-year-old prepares to strike the first blow of the tournament. Van Houten, already something of a veteran of G4D, Golf for the Disabled tournaments, thoroughly deserved this honour. And being Daphne, she essayed a fine drive down the middle of the first fairway to the applause of all present. 80 players from 19 countries assembled for the week, May the 13th to the 17th, for the challenge of tackling the beautiful but highly testing Duchess course over 54 holes in gross stroke play. This inclusive tournament, created by event partners the RNA and the DP World Tour, supported by Edgar, was off and running in its second year. Every attempt had been made to ensure that the venue was first rate for the competitors, perhaps the best example being the work carried out to make every bunker on the course accessible to all the golfers, including those who play from a powered chair. And looking around this famous venue, it was hard to miss the striking signature dark blue of the RNA's G4D Open signage, the colour and typeface synonymous with the Open and other historic events, all designed to inform and inspire competitors and spectators alike. And, as happens at such international events elsewhere, many of the club golfers in the area wanted to support this tournament, with more than 120 members of Woburn and nearby venues volunteering to help the players in scoring, caddying, ball spotting and other key tasks. One G4D player summed it up well on the first day. "I love it. It feels like our Open," he said. The players responding by meeting the challenge in front of them and playing some wonderful golf all week. Daphne van Houten summed up her own opening shot, which had an historic feel at the end of her round.
"That was amazing to do. Many people watching and the nerves coming off, and that always feels nice. So, and to hit a good one as well is amazing to do. Good par in the first hole. So, I wasn't here last year, so my first time coming on G4D Open, and it's massive. 80 players and then so many people watching on the first tee and in the course, and they're all clapping for you, and it does like cheer you up and keeps you going when there are so many people supporting you. So it's an amazing event, and I think it can grow the game as well. I see loads of people that are just cheering us on so they can see what we can do."
As each player left Woburn's clubhouse and made their way towards the course, they would be much aware of a series of striking 12-foot-high presentation boards bearing photographs celebrating last year's overall male and female victors, but also the winners of the 9 sport classes of athletes taking part. 3 of these were standing classes, 2 were sitting, 2 visual and 2 intellectual. On these boards, along with established names such as Kip Poppert and Brendan Lawler, there was one for Italy's Stefano Palmieri, winner of Visual 1 last year, a player who is totally blind, and England's Terry Kirby, champion in Sport Class Sitting 1 last year. Now, Yorkshireman Terry, returning to Woburn here and seeing his board on arrival, immediately asked to take it home to put by his front door in Hull. We will get back to Terry on that one. The players visited from all parts, including Canada, the USA, Europe, Japan and Australia. They had qualified through the World Ranking for Golfers with Disability, WR4GD, but nevertheless the tournament seemed to retain the feeling of solidarity and competitive community found in the 140-plus Edgar Run, badged or supported events worldwide, where these ranking points are accrued. The G4D Open is, however, different. Importantly, the media interest helps Edgar make more people aware, individuals with a disability, family and friends, that there is a community of golfers in which they can join, whether as a sampler, perhaps taking first chips and putts following an injury or illness in a hospital setting, a rehab clinic, a sports hall or golf venue, or as a more regular participant, or as a regular competitor, as seen here at Woburn. With this fine club owned by the Duke of Bedford becoming almost a world centre for G4D for the week, organisers made maximum use of the time, welcoming to a series of workshops international delegates, including from national federations, from as far afield as Egypt, Japan, Norway, Uganda, Ukraine and South Africa, to help chart the future by seeking to build capacity in G4D and enhance golf's offer. Themes including the improvement of venues, communications, competitions, coaching and workforces, while supporting the RNA in its work to make the game more inclusive. Tony Bennett, the president of Edgar, explained the thinking behind this activity at Woburn.
A major benefit of this tournament is to bring the eyes of the world to G4D and highlight golf's power to help people reach their potential. With approximately 16% of the world's population having a disability, focused attention around this year's G4D Open made this a significant week for those seeking to make changes and for those who could and should benefit from positive change. This tournament showcases fantastic players from 9 sports classes. All the players qualified on merit through the world ranking. However, many fine players didn't qualify this time, as happens with a ranking system. But we now want them to be inspired to work on their game further, to be the best they can be, so they can show everyone their golf skills next time and contest for sport class trophies.
Out on the course, world number one from England, Kip Popat, who has cerebral palsy, and Ireland's Brendan Lawler, world number two, who has Ellis Van Creveld syndrome, played some fantastic golf between them all week, with Popat's closing 2 over par 74 for a total of 217, edging out Lawler by a single shot. Certainly their great play and the others' very high standards will have stirred the imagination of the spectators and those who have watched through media channels during the week. Kip, the champion, said on finishing,
Pretty pleased with that. I was playing well coming into this week, and then, to be honest, the last two rounds didn't really have my A game, but I was pretty pleased to get the win, and it was nice, you know, as you say, Brendan and I have a good battle and, you know, we get on well, so it was really good.
All of the 80 qualifying players have a designated sport class and not only competed in the overall championship, but also in their respective classes. As Kip Popat holed out from 2 feet to finish the tournament, alongside the overall leading male and female winner, who was a certain Daphne Van Houten, a gross prize was also awarded in each sport class. The men's gross prize winners were as follows. Intellectual 1, Cameron Pollard, Australia. Intellectual 2, Thomas Blizzard, England. Standing 1, Juan Postigo Arce, Spain. Standing 2, Kip Popat, England. Standing 3, Brendan Lawler, Ireland. Sitting 1, Terry Kirby, England. Sitting 2, Richard Clewen, the Netherlands. Visual 1, Paul O'Rahilly, Ireland. Visual 2, John Eakin, England. The women's gross prize winners were as follows. Intellectual 2, Erika Malmberg, Sweden. Standing 1, Alessandra Donati, Italy. Standing 2, Amy Bullock, England. And standing 3, Daphne Van Houten, the Netherlands. Women's champion Daphne Van Houten, who was born with scoliosis, talked of the positive environment surrounding the players she knows well from other Edgar tournaments.
And it's just been nice to catch up with everybody. I came here earlier and I think I spoke to all 80 of them. So that's nice, yeah. Well, I like to thank my caddy. I didn't know her before. She just walked on the first tee on the first day and she did perfect. Like, just chatting around, keeping me comfortable. Of course, I want to thank my parents. They did a lot for me in golf. They brought me to many tournaments when I was younger. They went through my operation together with me and they always have my back. Even though they're not here, I know they're supporting me and texting me. So yeah, and my family, just my whole family, my brother, my nephew, Edgar, of course. I want to thank Edgar because they make this, they make it work.
England's Tony Lloyd, because of the challenges of his condition, he was born with bilateral upper limb phocomelia, which he refers to as having elbow-length arms with no hands, wasn't expecting to win the overall tournament, but he put together three brilliant gross rounds of 86, 81, which included four birdies, and 84 to come fourth in his sport class, standing one. Tony said of his achievement,
I'm thrilled with how I played this week with three rounds in the 80s. After last year's three rounds in the 90s where the course beat me up, I got my got the redemption I came here wanting this week. So I'm very happy with my play this week. This is the simplest thing in the world. It's practice, practice, practice. It's the only way you'll get better is by repetition and just trying to improve.
Female winner in Intellectual 2, Erica Malmberg, who is autistic, also competes in order to spread awareness and understanding of this often misunderstood condition. Michelle Lau of Cambridgeshire was also in this sport class, inspired to compete herself after seeing Erica's posts about playing golf with autism on Instagram. At Woburn, Erica shed a few tears as the Swedish player described how golf has helped her to learn and become stronger in life. Richard Kluwen of the Netherlands won the day in sitting two at Woburn, and just as Daphne did, he praised his volunteer caddy. Every player we spoke to at Woburn was so grateful for the help of the volunteers. They were run by Glenna Beasley and Steph Dimmich, with great efficiency and always a sense of humour. Richard Kluwen said of his experience,
"This is the first time I played a G4D tournament, and I'm bedazzled. I can't believe that an organization can be so good. It is well thought of, everything is right, a lot of volunteers who help with everything. It's really a party to be here, and I know for sure I will be here next year. On the first tee, I asked for the caddy, where's my caddy? He said, oh, you don't have a caddy, so I will arrange a caddy for you. So I was like, oh, I hope it's a good one. No, I caught Susan Cayley, and I think she's the best caddy a man can ever wish for. We exchanged numbers, and when I come back next year, she is my caddy again. So we had good fun, we had the chemistry, it clicked."
With the backing of the Duke of Bedford, president of Woburn Golf Club, and his highly professional staff, nothing was too much trouble in a week when the details were important as the broad brush. In the build-up to the event, Edgar Head of Instruction and Education Mark Taylor coached the PGA professional staff at Woburn so they could gain expertise in the area of coaching players new and established with a disability. Sessions included learning how to help players who swing from a paragolfer and players with a visual impairment. PGA assistant professional Jacob Fawcett said the training was a confidence booster, giving me knowledge and insight so I can always welcome a golfer with disability and be able to help them in their approach to golf. Meanwhile, Mark Taylor and Edgar eligibility assessor, the excellent Leanne Clark from Golf Ireland, welcomed two groups of mental health patients from the East London NHS Foundation Trust to Woburn, offering the RNA-approved D3 First Touch golf format, which uses safe, light, colourful, adapted golfway chippers and putters with soft balls that can be used in non-golf venues such as hospitals and schools. Importantly, Mark and Leanne were able to offer training in D3 to staff and volunteers from the Trust so they could impart their new learning to a great many patients in the year ahead. Edgar's Mark Taylor explained this thinking further.
So it was a really good time to have these patients from various wards of the NHS Trust London come along and try golf for the first time. And some of the feedback we've had from previously training those volunteers and those occupational therapists who work with these patients has been great. They're actually starting to deliver golf at the NHS centres. They've got a grass area. They've been D3 trained by us. They've got some equipment. We're helping supply them with some further equipment to have ongoing opportunities for them to be able to quickly access golf and go out and play for half an hour. That's exactly what we wanted. It's also good to see a different demographic taking part in these activations, actually showcasing some of the other benefits that golf has in a wider aspect of golf and health.
The visual putting challenge held near the clubhouse was both an awareness exercise for all present and used in organised training for new guides for players with visual impairment. Everyone having a go gained an insight in what golfers with a visual impairment must contend with on every green. Helped by an attending guide, simulation glasses made the putting process gradually more difficult, and those trying the challenge had to rely on their guide and their own sense of feel and balance to succeed. A group of students from Leland's High School, Luton, were eager to take part in this challenge, with Edgar Tournament Director Manon Egermont using her training to act as their guide. The school's Director of Physical Education, Shane Harnett, brought two groups totalling 22 students, including 8 young people with special educational needs, along to the challenge. Mr. Harnett said, "We thought this was an ideal opportunity to expose our students to a new sport in golf, and certainly watching the players on the course and then taking part in this visual challenge has made us all think a little more about the resilience some athletes need to succeed. It has been a really positive experience for us all." Students commented on how impressive it was that golfers with a visual impairment could take part in the G4D Open. One of those players, Paul O'Rahilly from Ireland, was playing in the Visual 1 sport class and was taking on all the challenges faced by someone with a significant visual impairment out on the Duchess course. Paul was hugely grateful to his great friend John, who is with him as his guide, doing a fantastic job. Of his own playing, Paul said,
"I was very impressed with the golf course to begin with. It's one of the finest golf courses I have ever played. It's a fantastic test in every way. You really need to be hitting the ball to a level of accuracy that would challenge the best of golfers. You know, whatever tee you're playing off, you need to be hitting it what I call the 95th percentile and above. You have to be 95% accurate with all your shots. And in addition to that, then you're faced with undulating lies. You're faced with challenging stances, and that's just the start of it. Once you get to the green, then you're faced with these just incredibly fast greens. The work that went into the event itself, from the RNA, from Edgar, from the Woburn Golf Club, professional people and volunteers brought something together that was just really well planned from start to finish. We were treated like professional golfers. We were treated with tremendous respect."
Thinking for the future, the aim is to bring in more quality female golfers for the G4D Open in 2025. There are 11 female golfers qualifying this year. Daphne Van Houten would agree with this objective.
"I think it's quite important. I try to urge other women to play golf, disability or not. I can see it grow. I've been in Edgar for a few years and it's growing and growing, and a little bit more competition, so that's really nice as well. It keeps me sharp if there's many more women that play well, so that's been really nice, yeah."
Amy Bullock, Edgar's Director of Women's Golf, added,
"There were more women playing this year, which is fantastic, and there was a lot more coverage of the women playing across social media, and when you speak to all of us, we've all had a brilliant time. It's been a fantastic experience. And that comes across in all the photographs. And hopefully that will reach a wider audience and encourage more women to want to be part of what is a fantastic event and is only going to get better and better."
Talking of the future, on a practice area behind the clubhouse at Woburn, something great happened on the second day of the tournament. Sports mad Joni, aged 10 from South Oxfordshire, was invited to join a special coaching session given by Edgar, where she joined a group of children with limb differences to test out a new golfing device being developed to increase accessibility for the sport. UK-based Koala is collaborating with Edgar on the development of the new golf tool, which is designed to enhance the ability of players with upper limb differences to effectively use a golf club. While the development process is still in its early stages, the session at Woburn followed months of research and testing and was the first time that younger players have been invited to try out the prototype device. Joni and four other children completed four holes on a specially created practice course, experiencing both teeing off and putting. Joni later commented, "The whole day was a great experience because I got to try a new sport for the very first time and met lots of people who were just like me. The new prosthetic and tool gave me control over the golf club so I could do a better swing. This was my first time playing golf and I hope I will play again soon." Amy Bullock, who has been supporting Koala's research with Mark Taylor, said,
"I think the Koala session was just fantastic. Just first of all, just to see children having a go at golf for the first time, smiling, running around, having a great time is just what all of this is about. Children are our future, aren't they, for playing this sport? And I've had some fantastic feedback from the parents who have said their children that took part in the Koala event are all desperate to get to the driving range. And hopefully that means they're going to want to keep playing golf and they were inspired by the whole experience to want to be part of this."
This activity summed up the whole week in Woburn, thanks to the great efforts from the organisers, the staff at Woburn and His Grace the Duke of Bedford, the great many volunteers led so well by Glenna and Steph, the caddies, guides, friends and family of the players, but most of all the players who handled the challenge of the Duchess course with great skill and grit. Well done to everyone. This Edgar podcast was written and narrated by Ben Evans, and the sound production was by Martin Maynard of Sounds Good. You can find more stories of people with a disability thriving through golf in the profiles section of the Edgar website at edgargolf.com, and you can contact members of our team through the website.